Shall we pray? Lord God, we praise you that you have revealed the creation of the world to us in ways that we might understand it, understand you, and understand ourselves. Help us, we pray, to receive your word by the power of your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, we'll consider the context of this passage and options for ways in which Christians look at and read this story. We'll step carefully through what the passage says. You might have noticed the number 7 days, but there was the number 10 as well. Look out for that. We'll have a quick word about faith in God's version of events versus the prevailing worldview around us in the media. And finally, we consider how does this apply to us, this story apply to us. The Bible includes history, prophecy, poetry, philosophy, morality, and more. And knowing the context of what you read, what actually is this passage that we have, the creation story in front of us, knowing what it is really important. Every worldview attempts to explain where did the world come from, what's wrong with it, and how to fix it. And for Christianity, as for Judaism, as for Islam, this is the documented record of creation. And the first 5 books of the Bible, they were written by, it's generally accepted, it was written by Moses. And what he would have been able to do is pull together the oral traditions that had come down from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then the emerging Jewish nation. So he'd have had all that oral tradition, and he would have had a royal education, the top-notch scholarship in Egypt, the highest civilization of the ancient world. And he'd have been able to put those things together in the 40 years from crossing the Red Sea to getting to the River Jordan. And Moses probably had more face time with God than anyone else in the Bible to be able to get the story straight. So that's the context for us as we look at it. And there are 3 ways that Christians can look at this Genesis account of creation. For some, they would take it as literally true, like a technical specification. A day equals 24 hours. For some, it's a word picture of principles and truths. A day equals, well, it may be 24 hours, but it's a period of time. Third, for some, they'd say, well, it's just a way that the ancient world expressed the view that God made the world, and actually a day doesn't matter. So there are different ways in which people can approach it, different aspects of literalism. To declare my view of this, I lean mostly towards option 2, because I think that's the most appropriate way to interpret Genesis chapter 1. There is great precision in the explanation. 10 specific steps of creation across 6 days to bring about life, a bit like there are 10 commandments. This wasn't just an illustrative story like a parable, but neither is it a technical description in the same way as we have some of the genealogies or the laws about what to do for cleanliness or building the temple in Exodus and Leviticus. So for me, that's the appropriate way that I come to read it. People have different views, but what we do believe is it's God's account, and this is the way that God set out the world came into being. Okay, details matter. So we had details matter. We had a broken boiler this morning, so I was going to have a nice PowerPoint which would show you the 10 things I'm now going to say. So don't need that. Keep your eyes on the scripture. But there are 10 things, 10 details in here. First, verses 1 and 2, God, the Trinity, is the beginning. God is the beginning. In the beginning, God. We see there at the beginning The Spirit is mentioned, verse 2, hovering over the over the waters. And in verse 26, do you see how it says, let us make mankind in our own image. God is speaking to himself for the different members of the Trinity. In John chapter 1, as we studied in Advent, we see there we are, Jesus was there. He was there at the beginning of the world. Nothing was made without him. Everything was made through him. So we have Father, Son, and Spirit there, the Trinity, at the beginning. God is there at the beginning. And through each of the 10 creative steps that he speaks, and Jesus is the Word. So God, the Trinity, is there at the beginning. Number 2, creation is the universe, not just the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. In subsequent days, lights fill the vaults of the sky, and they're not just random. The stars aren't there without pattern. They're there to mark sacred times and days and years, and the ancient civilizations knew that very well. The pyramids, in some aspects, were ways for the Egyptians to do astronomy. The Mayans and others, they were very good students of the sky, and the ancient Britons built Stonehenge in much the same way. So there is pattern and purpose across all of the universe, and verse 16 is one of my favorites. And he also made the stars. P.S. He made the stars. So that's the second. It's the universe, not just the world. Third, God created dimensions. Do you see all the different dimensions here in this specification? There's the physical and the spiritual. There is height and depth and breadth. There is time. There are days and there are seasons. There is land. There's sky, there's sea, there's light, there's dark, there's water, there's dust, into which life was placed. God created all the different dimensions. 4, God created in logical sequence from the raw materials of earth and water, the dust and the water, and that he put that into place as well. We don't just assume that happened, but there we are. God had those things as well. So there are these 10 creative steps across the 6 days. Day 1, light. Day 2, sky. Day 3, land, and then vegetation. Day 4, stars, and then moons and planets for the different lights. Day 5, there's the sea creatures, and there's the birds. And day 6, there's the animals, and there's mankind. So there is a logical sequence, an order in which God is going about things. 5, life is created in kinds. 10 steps of creation, but the other thing 10 times is God created things in their kinds. It's there in verse 11, verse 12, verse 21 twice, verse 24 twice, verse 25 3 times, and verse 26, mankind. The word here used for kind, if you look at a taxonomy of created things, you'd be somewhere between an animal family and a genus. What do we mean by family? Well, as you talk about cats or felines, dogs, bears, etc., if you get down to the lowest level of species, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of different types of species. But these kinds, well, there's about 1,400 of them. Remember that when we come back to how many animals are going to fill the ark in a few weeks' time. So God created things in their created kinds. And a kind is something that had all the fantastic complexity within the DNA to spread out into those different species. You've probably heard people in science say, well, you could trace back all the dogs in the world to a single prototype dog, a wolf. And a bit like as you look at genetic DNA for humans, well, there's this genetic Adam and Eve. It points back to a single, from which the complexity sprang and from which Mr. Darwin saw the different evolution of kinds. 6, humanity is unique and different because we are in God's image. verse 26, to rule over the creation. Some people don't like that idea of ruling over creation. You know, God did put us in charge to look after it. And chapter 2, verse 25, will come on to explain in more detail that we're there to work it, to work creation, and to take care of it. Not just to rule over it. So, being like God in his image, chapter 1, there are a couple of profound implications. So we go on. We're made to be creative, to work in creation, not just to sit back, eat the fruit, and go and populate the earth, but we're there to be creative. That's being in God's image. God made us in creative, to be creative. And secondly, the other implication, number 8, we are made to be in relationship, just as God is in relationship with himself in the Trinity. We are made to be in relationship with God. Again, we come along to the next chapter and the one after that, and we find God walking through the garden in the cool of the day to have a conversation with Adam and Eve. God made us to be in conversation with him and to be in relationship with him because he made us. We are spirit in part as well as physical, as God is spirit, able to connect and communicate. Number 9, if you're keeping pace with me out of the 10, is creation. All creation was good, and in total, it was very good. I thought about this. Good. When you say something's good, what do you mean? So that's a really good piece of work. Matt was saying before, as he and I were talking before, that, well, it's like artistry. You know, you can look at something, wow, that is just fabulous, isn't it? That's beautiful. It is so diverse. It's so incredibly made. It's so inspiring. It's so heartwarming. What do we mean by good? God made things good. Not just about random cell multiplication. And as I was thinking about this, I, as some of you know, I used to work for a certain local ferry company. And one of the really fun things to do was to go. These are big ships, not quite as big as an ark, but they're big ships. And I would get to go and when they went up into dry dock, to be able to walk around all the engine and see all the different components of an engine. And that was really quite something. Wow. But not half as impressive as being able to travel on the back of one of those fast cats, because I was able to go down right to the car deck at the back as you were barreling along at 50 miles an hour, and to see the engine working and throw out 200 swimming pools worth of water every minute, or whatever the statistic was, as you went through. To see it was impressive. To see it working was something else. So what God made was incredible, and it was good. And in total, it was very good. And finally, being creative involves rest after work. You can imagine Moses, as he put these books of the Bible together, seeing the links between, yeah, and God rested, and then you come to commandment number, whichever one it is, 4 or 5, and by the way, you have to take a rest every seventh day. Why? Well, because I took a rest, and because it's about enjoying the relationship he's made us for. Those are some details about creation. How does God's version of events match up to the worldview that prevails in our education system and so much of the media? That worldview, if you drill it down, the universe began with a big bang of life. You know, how the stuff got there in the first place, never mind, but it began with a big bang. And if you go and Google it, from a prebiotic synthesis of organic molecules, molecular self-replication, self-assembly, autocatalysis, and the emergence of cell membranes. Complexity and intelligence came about by chance and evolved on a principle of survival of the fittest. That's the underlying worldview that comes from Darwinian evolution. And what's wrong with the world? Well, if you follow the logic through, what's wrong with the world is that those who are not the fittest lose. And what's the answer to that? Well, you have to become more fit. And you model through, well, where does that worldview take you? Or what about those who've expanded it? Well, you could try reading the books of Friedrich Nietzsche, whose work in the 1800s became embraced by Nazi propaganda. That's the alternative worldview. If you're not going to put God in there, then how did it come about? What's wrong with it and how do you fix it? This worldview, it grew out of the work of Charles Darwin, who observed evolution of creatures within their kinds, and then others took it and extrapolated it. And I've spent quite a lot of my adult life following scientific reading and commentary on the theory of evolution. And there are very many extrapolations and assumptions that it makes. My conclusion is that God's version of events requires significantly less faith than it takes to believe in the world being a product of chance and mutation and a very large amount of time. And there are two compelling reasons for that. The first is we see in our passage the 10 times it's mentioned created kinds. There is very little credible evidence of intermediate forms between different types of kinds, either in the fossil record or in the creatures that we see today. They don't exist. And nor do we find it as we look for the link, the missing link between apes and humans, if you go into it. So the evidence for created kinds is good. And also the fact that even the simplest living organisms that we have the most incredible complexity of DNA even embedded within them. And so, as I say, for me to assume that that arose from chance rather than from an intelligent creator is for me beyond belief. And I've also concluded that the creation story didn't actually need billions of years for that chance. That's a coffee conversation and not one for now. But the principle behind it is that if you had a random letter generator with an infinite amount of time, you are never going to get not to the first paragraph, let alone the completed works of Shakespeare, because to put it together, you need intelligence. As we consider God's version of events against the worldview around us, let us not be intimidated by a militant anti-God worldview that tells us that this account of creation is untrue. So, the overwhelming evidence of the vast array of creation gives us confidence in a Christian worldview that it's valid and reasonable. If you've not yet believed and come to know Jesus for yourself, then perhaps this creation story will speak to you or inspire you to go along, as Matt was saying, to Christianity Explored to talk some more about this. For those who have come to know Jesus and who have to believe them, there's perhaps a personal aspect for each of us in this as we consider 2024. God set the dimensions to the universe that he made with design and order, and he's set dimensions of time and space to our lives. We're not here in Dorset by accident in 2024. There may be one or two people in church today who, a bit like Jonah, are running away from God's calling on your life. If you're that person as you come to the table this morning, would you be willing to submit to God and what he's actually asking you to do? Would you be willing to do that? But for most of us, we will be exactly where and when God intends us to be. That design comes with a purpose for us to be creative. So being made in his image, what is it that God is calling us to create or to fulfill in our world in 2024? It might be something new that's in where you work. It might be something new in church or the community. It might be something about everyday relationships, existing or new ones, that God is calling you to. So you could come to the table this morning, if you're not sure, to say, well, Lord, what is it for 2024? Or if you are sure to ask for grace to fulfill, what is it? Well, Lord, give me the strength, the grace to do it. And finally, being made in God's image and made for a relationship with him as spiritual beings, and his desire is to walk with us in the cool of the day and to speak with us. Well, perhaps our need this morning in coming to the table is to ask for help to speak regularly with our God, not being rushed, but coming and enjoying relationship with him in 2024, so that we will know the grace and the strength to be the creative individuals made in his image that he's called us to be. God saw all that he has made, and it was and is very good. Amen.